Hey, how's it going?
Good, you?
Good.
Let me fix this a little better here.
Yeah, I'm fixing. Well, I've been fixing it for the last 5 minutes, just trying to get, you know, good lighting. And I'm up north. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, but I'm going to make sure that my earbud, your AirPod, whatever they call the AirPods or whatever, they're not working. Let me just.
Okay.
Fix this here. And then I got a bunch of stuff open, which is weird. You're up north. You're in the Sierras, right? Is that?
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking me.
This has been quite the journey for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been the most incredible journey with lots of ups and downs.
Yeah, I bet. My friends are going to, they're going to put a sound barrier here, but, I'm upstairs in an Airbnb and there's people downstairs. And so we're putting a kind of like a padded so that the sound is good, but all right. Well, thank you for doing this. I feel like I was thinking about a couple things. One, I know it must be a really hard thing to have the show end, even though it ended, you know, it ended well. And I wanted to ask you a couple questions from the fans because we have a lot of questions to ask you. I've seen a lot of activity on the socials, and so because I wanted to see if it was at all possible to do this. So I'm really, really honored to have you on. I know you have a life. And to come on a Saturday at 2 p.m., you know, to do this, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to the fans.
I absolutely. Thank you for asking me. And I hope that I can be of help with some of the questions. I mean, look, it's been, we stopped shooting in October. We wrapped it in October. So hopefully I'll be able to recall and
give you
some answers.
Well, I'm going to shoot away because I don't want to take too much of your time. Well, first of all, let me just put this disclaimer out there because we're going to talk about the last season, obviously, because it just ended. And so this video will most likely have spoilers. If you haven't watched it, I know some of you are going to start watching this video. Some of my friends have messaged me. Some of the fans have messaged me, and some of you have not finished the season. Just be aware that there will be spoilers. and we will be talking specifically about some things that happened in the last block and definitely the last season, which is season 4. And it's on Netflix, if you're wondering. If you're new, welcome. Please get on Netflix and press play on Manifest. That'd be awesome. Okay. I just want to put that out there in the ether. All right. First question. You ready?
Yep.
What was your first reaction at knowing how the show would end?
Yeah.
This is from Allie on Twitter.
Hey, Allie. Well, I mean, it was complicated. You know, it was, after I finished my deal, I was the last person to finish their deal because when the show got canceled, we all had to do, our deals were gone. Okay. When the show was canceled by NBC, then it was canceled for a couple months. Few months.
Wow. Yeah.
And then in August, I think they announced that they picked it back up, that Netflix had picked it back up, but it was still Warner Brothers producing it.
Right.
But our contracts had been expired for months when they canceled it. So everybody had to renegotiate a new contract, and I was the last one to do it because I in that time when it was canceled, I booked a pilot for NBC, and then we were just like waiting to find out when it was what was gonna happen with it. And then as soon as we found out that it was not getting picked up, we had already been talking with Jeff and the producers about, you know, just checking in, what can we do, you know, they knew how much I loved it and wanted to be a part of it, obviously.
Yeah.
I didn't want to miss a moment of playing Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
So then we finally worked that out in November, like maybe 2 weeks before we went to shoot.
Right.
So as soon as we figured that out, Jeff said he wanted to go to lunch. So he took me to lunch and told me everything. And I, you know, he's such an amazing storyteller. So we're at lunch and I had just, like, you know, like I said, we had just closed my deal. And so I was, I was so relieved and happy. And, it had also been really stressful. You know, it had gone on for a while trying to figure out what I was doing. So it was really intense sitting down with him and, like I said, complicated. And I was so happy and relieved, but then he told me that Zeke was going to die. And he told me about, but then he told me how it happened and he told me the end of the show. So like I was the only actor and only, there was only a few people that actually knew where the show was going to go, the finale of the show. So he told me about it and he told me about the final scene. And so I was like, he's such an amazing storyteller and I'm sitting at lunch with him in like Larchmont Village and, you know, emotional, you know, just, you know, my eyes were welling up because it was so powerful and because I love Zeke so much and I love the story so much. And I feel so close to him and especially then when I was still in the middle of it. But you know, also I was upset that I wasn't going to be there for the end of it. Like I wanted to be a part of the final mystery and but I was really grateful the way that the first block of season four, the way Zeke's story played out. I mean, it was so moving and powerful for me and the way that it was constructed and was written. So I was like, look, I would rather have that and not be around as much for the second block. And I knew I was going to still be a regular. It wasn't like I was going to be recurring or something after that, even though I wasn't in it nearly as much. I would much rather have that story because it is so impactful and memorable and so rewarding for me to play than to not have that and just kind of go along sort of like a lot of season three was for Zeke. And then not really, I wasn't on the plane, so I wouldn't have been on, well, maybe I would have, I don't remember. I don't even remember. Some people were on the plane that weren't supposed to be there at the end. Were they? I can't remember.
Were they? No.
I don't think they were. I wouldn't have been on the plane anyway. It was such a, and then with the scene at the end of the show, it was like ultimate redemption.
I know.
And and I was just thrilled and so grateful. You know? And I couldn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anyone what was going to happen. I didn't want to ruin that. I thought that was such an amazing full circle scene and moment for them. I mean, it's so deep. There's so many things going on.
I agree. It was like, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to talk about, there's certain scenes that were just so powerful in season four that I thought, holy wow. So I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself. Was there anything you wanted to see more of happen between Zeke and Mick? It felt like 4B, and when I say 4B, for those of you wondering, it's just the last 10 episodes of that of season four. Season four had 20 total episodes, and 4A makes up the first 10, and 4B makes up the last 10. So it seems like 4B, I felt like we were kind of rewarded this, how do I say this without like making it sound like we didn't get that? Cause we did, we kind of got a lot of like, you guys communicated. And when I say you guys, you and Mick, Zeke and Mick communicated a lot about their feelings, dynamics of relationships, meaning like you leaving your towels on the wet towels on the floor. Just to jog your memory. Her saying, I love you completely. Like those things, because everything was just about the death date and trying to survive the death date. And then, spoiler alert, you die for A at the end of 4A, you sacrifice yourself for Cal, which I thought was so terrible and beautiful. And then 4B comes along and you're coming to her and in the glow and you guys are communicating. And I don't feel like we got a lot of that before that. I felt like that was such a gift. And yeah. And so we just wondering if there's anything you wanted to see more of happen with Zeke and Mick.
Yeah.
That maybe before, didn't happen.
I mean, it would have been earlier on, probably.
Yeah.
To build the relationship a little bit more, because you know there was pushback.
For sure.
You know, there were two camps about which relationship people love more, mm-hmm. between Zeke or Jared. And so mm-hmm. I wish that we would have had more time to build in season two that mm-hmm. relationship, because it had to move quickly because we had, I think, 13 episodes that season. Mm. And I bought, like, I always committed to the fact that they were supposed to have this supernatural connection. And so that would have taken care of, it wasn't a normal relationship in normal circumstances.
Sure.
From the very beginning, it was supernatural and mystical and on another level, you know, mm-hmm. connection wise and intimacy wise, not just like physical intimacy, but just like seeing another person's soul, you know, and like being, mm-hmm. being that person's other half, you know, but like mm-hmm. it's hard to articulate it, but
yeah.
So if you go into the relationship with that in mind, when you mm-hmm. see it, you fill in you have to, as an audience member, fill in some of those blanks, I think, you know?
Yeah.
I think some people just didn't want to do that, or they didn't feel it, or they didn't see it, or whatever, or they loved the other one more. I wish we would have had a couple. There was a scene that was cut out of the episode where, I might have told you this before, but there was a scene that was cut out of the episode where, Zeke and Mick go to Lucas's, the drug dealer, Zeke's old drug dealer, to save Courtney. Remember, she owed a bunch of money. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So, but there was a scene at the end when the cops are after the cops have shown up and bust him and everything,
mm-hmm.
where and Zeke hadn't started to get frostbite again. See, so like the circumstance, they were still both healthy and they were on the same level. You know, there wasn't this looming, oh my God, Zeke is about to die thing that then sort of polluted the relationship in some people's minds. If they didn't already buy it, then it was like, oh, well, that's why she's going to be with him. You know what I mean?
No, that's
because
that's
of good. Pity and all that. So, mm-hmm. but there was, I just wish we had a little more time to build, even a couple more scenes of building that.
Right.
What they meant to each other, sort of like what we got in season four, part two, mm-hmm. then, you know? Mm-hmm. So then,
mm-hmm.
because Zeke, I felt like he professed his love more than she did, because she was doing so much other stuff. You know what I mean? She had a whole nother life outside of the relationship, where Zeke's main storyline really for most of the show was his relationship with her and sort of the connection he had with the Stones, and then with Cal too. But I wish we hadn't cut that scene. There was a scene where it had to be dropped for time issues, that the episode ran way too long. And this is when it was still on NBC. So there was like a fine, you know, a concrete window to fit it into, where it was another emotional scene where like mm-hmm. he told her what she said something about Courtney, you know, and how maybe I still had feelings for her or something. And Zeke just completely locked into her, and it was, I thought it was a really well written scene, and we've shot it like under the gun. It was really crazy. We had no time to shoot it, and it came together, and then she reciprocated that emotion, you know. And I thought that because it was the relationship was so sped up because we had so little time, that even losing that scene was like a huge crucial chunk gone that could have helped to
bridge the gap a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To convince more people than to build that relationship more before the frostbite came back, and then before the marriage thing came up and all death date and all that, because that adds another level of stakes that weren't there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember you mentioned that. And I don't know if it was through, that there was a deleted scene, and we were like, we got on Twitter. I was like, there's a deleted scene. We want to see it.
Oh, really? That's funny. I don't know.
I know. Any deleted scene we want to see, of course. Sure.
They released DVDs of it, maybe they would put it on there, but I don't know if they even release DVDs of stuff anymore.
Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine. That. So there's since we're talking this, I was gonna go down the list, but there's
take your time. Like I got don't feel like you need to rush or anything. Like okay, I'm cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
There's a Tudum article with an interview with Athena. She plays Grace, where she mentions that she shot a scene with you in 410, or at least when she came back to shoot that episode. We also know they cut Courtney out of that episode. Are you able to talk about this, if you could? We'd love to know
with what the was Courtney shot. Scene or
Courtney and the Athena Grace scene, if there was one that was shot. This is from Anouk.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. Hey, Anouk. Anouk made that amazing, if people don't know, that incredible, and you did the soundtrack for it, edit of Zeke's journey, which was just incredible. The Athena thing, I think, was in there. It was a flashback to making a cake for Cal's birthday, I think. Wasn't that in there? I think
it was not in there.
Really?
I thought it was in there.
Really? When we flash back to, I could have sworn it was in there where there was like a little. It wasn't very long, and it wasn't 410. Well, I have to go back and watch it because I thought it was there. It was just a short little scene of us decorating his cake, and sort of like, I think it was about like. She said something about how grateful she was that I was there for him or something like that. And it was just another little piece of sort of what was about to happen, you know, building up to this ultimate sacrifice to help him or to be sort of like, you know, Zeke's, one of his main reasons for existing was to do this, you know, this like, it makes me think of a little bit of like the guy from Game of Thrones, Hodor, remember?
Yes.
He was only there to hold the door. And I mean, Zeke obviously had so much more story, but it was like he was, everything was leading up to this moment. And it was this moment then that allowed Cal to live and then save everyone on the planet. I mean, it's like, it's the biggest, it doesn't get more epic, you know, than that. and then the other scene, was a scene with Courtney that got cut because they changed the story. Originally, when I called Michaela on the phone, a big part of the phone call was that I tell her about being at the airport, and that I was high when I was picking people up at the airport, like I was in my cab, super high, and all this stuff. And I hadn't told her about it because I was ashamed, you know, which shame is such a driving feeling and emotion that I don't know if it's an emotion. That Zeke carried with him, and it was a massive part of his whole story and his person. Mm-hmm. But they, and rightfully so, somebody had the note that like he has told her so much other stuff. First of all, why would he have kept that? Which I kind of thought like, well, but we don't know what's important to people and what you know. We all have these things that to us are huge things that maybe we're super ashamed of, but other people might not think anything of it. You know what I mean? But but things become these massive weights on individuals because of what we tell ourselves, you know, the lies we tell ourselves or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they also said, I'm gonna lose my train of thought because I'm about to lose it. they also said, but then she gets in the cab with him knowing that he's high. And that kind of like, that sort of polluted the whole situation. If she goes out there and he's high, then it's not, the moment isn't as beautiful. It's not. So then it was they changed it again. I should have thought about this. I had to go in and loop a bunch of lines like in the ADR booth.
ADR. Uh-huh.
From that scene. Super emotional stuff. When it cut to her, a lot of my, maybe most of my lines were changed after we shot the scene. So this is between block 1 and 2. And I had Margaret Easley called me and we had
which
a
is
lot
amazing
of
she's amazing
she's fantastic amazing. And Laura is too. Putney,
the
two of them were writing partners, and they since went off and wrote scripts separately, but they were a massive champions of Zeke's story and their the relationship between the two of them. And they wrote his my first they wrote 113, which is like the first episode where he busts in the cave at the cabin in 112, but then 113 was like his journey into, back to Chloe's memorial and all that.
Right.
So what was your what was the question? Let me just make sure I come back to the
you answered it. We'd love to know what was shot and deleted.
Oh, scenes
yes, the scene with Courtney and what was shot and deleted.
Okay, so the scene with Courtney was deleted because it was a flashback in 410. Where we were high together and in our apartment, and the set was amazing. It was just a total pigsty. We had an incredible set decorator, set designer.
Awesome.
The last two seasons especially, and it was an amazing set, and she was fantastic. Her name's Danielle, and she's amazing, an amazing actress in person. And so, and then we like run out of coke or something. I think it was cocaine. Or maybe it was, I don't remember, a white powder. And I'm like, I'll go get some more. I'm going to go do some fares, basically, so we can buy some more drugs. And then I leave the apartment to go to the airport. And that's when I'm there, when the plane comes back. But then because we changed the story, that scene got cut, which sucked because she was so great. And it's such a bummer to have your stuff cut.
Sure.
Long story for that. That's a long
answer. But... That's great. I mean, we wanted to know because I was just like, what? Yeah, you're right. There was a, and then Athena mentioned it in that article. And so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she did.
What was the Tudum? She did a Tudum thing? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I can send you the link after the interview. I can send you the link because I have it. But it's in the Netflix Tudum website, so
that's cool,
but it's there. So were you disappointed Zeke didn't remember in the very last scene with you and Michaela? When the plane comes back,
I thought it was beautiful because I talked to Laura about this and Margaret too, but Laura most recently about like where he sort of was at that time. And this is after, obviously, he's already started to go down the road of substance abuse and all this unbelievable shame and regret over Chloe. But he's not nearly where he was before he decided to try and get clean the last time before he goes in the cave. So, because that's a couple years later when he goes in the cave.
That's right. Yeah. That is correct.
And I'm assuming that he hit rock bottom not long before that. Because he's still trying to make him, he's going through the steps, you know?
Yeah.
So Michaela coming into his life at that time is going to save him from all kinds of self-loathing and heartache. And I mean, he's already had a lot of it, but she's going to keep him from going that deep.
Right.
And like maybe his relationship with his mother is damaged. He doesn't go through the trauma of that because it's a lifelong thing to pull yourself out of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
he doesn't get so deep in because now someone is there to love and support him for who he is, where he doesn't have that right now. He doesn't think, you know, even though his mother probably would. But like I said, again, we tell ourselves all these lies. So I thought it was incredible. And it also showed that Michaela wanted it. You see, ultimately, she was 110% into it and knew what it was.
Yep.
And still was there with bells on for him.
Yep. That was beautiful. Yeah. That was a beautiful scene. How has the show impacted you personally and professionally? And how have you dealt with manifest ending and letting go of Zeke?
Yeah.
And this is from Mariana. She's in Curacao.
Hey, Mariana. I've been working since 2004 was my first big job, and then fortunate enough to only act since then. But man, I've been such a journeyman actor and bounced from show to show and pilot to pilot, you know, shows that didn't get picked up, or shows that got picked up and were canceled really quickly. So I've been looking for something like that. I love TV. And one of the things I love about it is the possibility of steady, prolonged storytelling and work. Yeah. And so to be able to finally, and Jeff and Drake and I talked about this quite a bit, because he was similar. He never really had a show that went this long either. And he's been working for it maybe a couple of years before I started working. It was his first show.
Wow.
I think. So to have that, even though we did get that, we had the moment of being canceled. But that also came with the blowing up on Netflix, which was just incredible, you know. to have those 4 years of steady storytelling and work in something that I loved, and playing a character that I just loved so much and was so grateful to have, and the stories that they gave me, I was pinching myself so often. So that was life-changing, and I'll be forever grateful for that and proud of so much of the work that I was able to do on there, because they gave me such great stuff. And then, I mean, how professionally, I don't know, because this year has been so weird. You know, the looming strikes have been affecting things since the very beginning of the year. And then now we're in the middle of the writer's strike, and we don't know what's happening with the actors yet. So it's been the weirdest year as far as there's just hardly anything out there opportunity-wise. There have been some things that came along that I went after, but nothing came of it. And then a lot of things that I passed on, because it just wasn't, I guess that's one thing it showed me is like, and I knew this, but it's not, it's really refreshing to then live it. If your heart is not in something, you will not do your best work. And so the goal is to continue to wait and look for the thing where that you can be 110% committed to, and your heart is in fully, because of course you will show up and do the best work you possibly can, as opposed to doing something because you have to do it. And that's valid too, but professionally, I don't really know what's going to happen yet, because like I said, it's been so dead. The second part of that question was?
How have you dealt with manifest ending and letting go of Zeke? Because that's a thing too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for me, it was different than everybody else, because I sort of let go of him in phases. I found out about him dying before we started shooting, and no one else knew. So then that was coming, you know, I knew that was coming. And then, so I said goodbye to him basically in 4:10. I would never know him again that way. You know, I would know him in the glow. Yeah. It's heavy.
Yeah.
I would know him in the glow. Heavy. I mean, I knew I was going to be in the glow in second part of season 4. And then I knew about the final scene, but he's a different person in the glow and he's a different person at the end. So when I shot those scenes in 4:10, that was it. I would never know him like that again. And I loved him so much. So I already kind of said goodbye to him then. And so then when I finished shooting, so then I sort of felt like visiting it a little bit when I was shooting the second part of season 4, like I would be gone for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And then come back. And it's weird. And, you know, you don't feel as big a part of it because you aren't. But, you know, I knew that was coming, and you sort of, I've been around long enough to be able to deal with it and still take ownership over the moments, you know, and the character and the story. But, and then saying goodbye to the show, like I said, it's sort of like emotionally for me petered out in a way, because I went through like phases of saying goodbye. So by the time I shot that last scene, I hadn't been there for a few episodes at that time. And I thought it was going to be this big emotional moment, you know, when they they all applauded when I rapped, and I didn't even say anything. And I always thought I would. I said stuff at the end of other seasons, but I didn't say anything at the end of season 4, because I had already sort of like let go of it and processed it all. And it was also just like a weird sort of dynamic for me. It's all my own thing, you know, when I was coming back to shoot stuff.
Yeah.
So I just hugged people and, you know, said things to individuals, but I didn't like make a speech or anything. And I kind of wish I had, but I just wasn't it wasn't the same kind of ending as it was for everyone else. You know what I mean? Because they all had been through this continuous journey up to that moment. And I had already had my completion of my journey in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that makes sense.
And then talk of spinoff and stuff. And so like that last scene was the beginning of something, you know, not a, we don't know anything about a spinoff, just to get that out of there. But that was already discussed at that time.
Right.
And
right.
So then like it had that aspect of it too, that last scene of like, this is the beginning of his life now and her life too. So I guess I had that feeling sort of going on that it didn't feel like
the end.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
So but then since then though, I mean, it's been a struggle to not to, you know, I not having that job, not having that character in the story to be a part of, like, yeah, it's hard.
Right.
It's weird.
I can't even imagine. What was the most difficult scene to do? And are Zeke and Matt similar? And if so, how? And would you, and since we're talking about spinoff, would you be down to do a spinoff? This is from Ligia.
The most difficult scene to do actually ended up being the scene in 410 with Melissa, with Michaela, because it just took a while for me to sort of tap back into it. I had been working on that for a while at home and then in my trailer, and I have learned that you can't force it, so you just have to do the work, and then knowing, and it gives me sort of peace, and so I take comfort in knowing that it could be any little thing that can sort of set you back off and lock you back into it.
Right.
But so like I did many takes before I suddenly it came alive again, but I couldn't panic, and I just I would talk and then like I was reading with one of the PAs, because I thought it would be okay. And then like I asked Melissa to come up and read off, she had offered to read off camera, but I was like, no, I think it's okay. She was in makeup or whatever. And then I asked her to come up, and then, you know, you just do little things, and you know that any, it could be the simplest little physical thing or another thought or anything, even a breath, anything at all can then suddenly just, you're present again, and it's all so raw and real, and you're in it, and it's everything you wanted it to be or you hoped it would be, because this is me saying goodbye to him. And I did not want to have that scene not feel it and really be there and present, because it's so complex. There's so many layers going on there. And so thank God it did happen. And it was a struggle, and that was probably the hardest scene I had to shoot, honestly, because it was a struggle at first.
You would think that the phone call the end of 4A between you and Nick would be the hardest one, because that just seems hard. Seemed hard to watch.
But you know what, what was hard about it was not having that emotion in all the takes. That was what was that's what's hard, actually, on yourself and psychologically. Because I want so badly to do justice to this guy and to the story. And so when you actually do have those moments, it's difficult, emotionally draining, and I guess cathartic, you could say, but also just like you're just super grateful, and it's like a moment of rejoicing that I think this is what, you know, I hope this is what the story needed, and I was, and I hope that it has that, you know what I'm saying? But like, I was able to sort of do it justice in a way.
Does. It does, because it actually kind of, you kind of brought like some of that kind of like spark, like just edginess to Zeke when he first came in to the picture. You kind of brought that kind of back, like, you know, when you were talking to her in the cab, and you kind of look at her and you're just like, hi honey, you know, like I just love the tone of that. I love that conversation. It kind of reminded me of Zeke after the cave, and you know, she's trying to get him to go back to the cave, and he's like, can you give me a break, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah. I loved that about him early on, that sort of wryness and that, you know, smart aleck sort of levity that he brought. And we lost a lot of that along the way. And I always tried to get some of it back, but then I guess
I feel like it was there in that cab. I don't know. Like,
I hoped it was. Some of it was there in the cab. I wanted some of it to be there.
Oh, good.
Because he doesn't know who this woman is.
Yeah.
But she's this beautiful woman just got into his cab too. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's not like you're gonna be like, who are you? What do you have an attitude?
Yeah.
But also, there's two things, contradictory things going on there, you know?
Sure. No, it was great. It was great. Go ahead.
Yeah, she, there was another part to that she asked too. And I, what was the end of that? The question that she had? The question that she had. You know, the one that you read there.
Oh, the question. Oh, okay. Would you be down? Are Zeke and Matt similar? That's a good one.
I mean, he's an, one of the things I loved about him from the beginning was that he was an outdoorsman, and I loved that about him because I love to go backpacking and camping. It's a huge part of my life, even though I haven't done it as much lately because we have little ones. But I always loved that about him, and the fact that we saw him out in the wilderness from the beginning, like, that was just so amazing to me. I mean, I like to think that I'm a good guy, but I think he's a much better guy than I am. I mean, he's so selfless and, you know, 100% faithful to the callings and to believing that McKay was going to survive the callings too, you know, in season three. Like, he was just never, as long as you follow those callings, that, you know, you will be here. He was just a rock for her and all of
them. He was.
Yeah.
And I love what he said in the glow about, I believe in you. And you know, like, she was just wanting to just give up.
Doubting, go off on her own and spend her last days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you be down for a
spinoff? For sure. Depending on, like, the story, I would want to be active and, you know, I'd want Zeke to play a crucial role in the story. But I think I'd say most of us, if not all of us, would probably be down for that. I mean, it's been the most surreal experience, you know, with the reception it's gotten on Netflix too. It doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah. Let's go here. Was the cab scene the last scene you filmed?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How did Jeff Rake find you? Do you know? Do you know what it was that he saw you?
I don't know, actually, before I got the appointment.
Okay.
So I don't know if you ever talked to him. I don't know if my people submitted me or if, like, the casting director, Julie Schubert, pitched me. But I think they'd been looking for this guy. And I feel like some guys had already tested, actually. They'd already tested multiple people. And then but I'm in LA and they shoot the show in New York. We shot in New York. And I got the appointment, and then, like, a day or two later, I taped it here. And this is before COVID. This is 2018, but it was just a self-tape at home because, like I said, they're on the other coast. And then I sent it in, but the names were all changed and everything. Like, it was real sad. There was no script to read.
Wow.
I got word that Jeff wanted to talk to me on the phone. So the next morning, I got on the phone with him, and he gave me some notes. And then, I had like a day or two to tape it again. And I just said, screw it, let's go tape it right now. So we went straight out and I taped it again and sent it in. And then I got the test, the test offer, but then, you know, you do your whole contract then, like, 6 years or whatever.
Wow.
And so I flew to New York and did a test and also, like, a chemistry read with Melissa and then booked it. But I feel good about it. I mean, I felt confident, you know, going in. I mean, I felt that way before too, and not gotten jobs, but I felt that's a good thing. Yeah. You want to go in feeling like, okay, like, good about what you're bringing and what you're doing and telling what you're showing.
Yeah.
Because I've also gone in before and been like, not feel great. And that's even worse, you know, because you know you're not going to get it. And then you also feel shitty about it too, you know.
Sorry. Man. Yeah. What was it like to shoot scenes in, with Zeke in the glow? Cause you guys didn't.
Yeah. It was weird.
You couldn't touch her.
No, we couldn't touch. No, we couldn't touch.
was the light, was there a big spotlight, like, or
huge lights behind me? Yes. Yeah. Hot.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
But also, but then, so you, I felt a little hemmed into it. Like, you know, you couldn't really do much. And I found myself just sort of having my hands in front of me because we couldn't touch. And I did sit down on the bed at one time, which was nice. But I couldn't really walk around because the lights were only in one place. And if I walk around, then it's not possible for me to like go to the other side of the room.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then they pumped it up and did other stuff. But
yeah, I was going to say they probably added some CGI after that or something, or yeah, they did something with that. Okay,
played with the lighting and the way that they looked in the camera. But so yeah, I felt a little. It's constricting, but it is what it is. You know, it's supernatural, surreal sort of otherworldly stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. It was really great. What kind of research did you do over the years to prepare yourself to play Zeke? And do you have any songs or playlists that remind you of Zeke? Like, did you have anything on set that you would just kind of play?
Yes. Before I started shooting, I mean, I did a bit of research on drug addiction recovery and AA and the steps and everything. And then season three, just trying to find something. I got some of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross books about like on death and dying and what it's like, what it's like to die and process that. And these are really amazing books that came out in the 60s and the 70s. This woman, I think she was like a hospice or something. I think it was in the Netherlands or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
And she wrote all these books about being around people who were dying. You know, and just the observations that they made about like the looming death. And I mean, it sounds very morbid, but it's also a huge gift because so for the loved ones around them and sort of how we can better help them in these moments, you know. And then I did some reading about like clairvoyance and, you know, psychic sort of connections to people for season three. And then the other part of the question was, music?
Yes. Music playlist.
Yeah, music. I love music so much. And I do have music that I listen to, but not really on set so much at home. Like when I'm working, I'll do it. Sometimes if it's really chaotic, I might play some music, but I used to do that more than I do now. I feel like it used to be more of like I held on to it, like to make sure that I would not let go of these emotions or that state of mind or whatever. But it became more like a white knuckle feeling, and it wasn't fluid and organic. It didn't feel as much. Now I just kind of breathe, and I can just whatever happens, and I just flow with it. And you know, it's more maturity of, you know, working more and being around more. But for season two, it was like a lot of Kendrick Lamar and JID and
nice.
And then I didn't listen to him for a while, but and then same. Season three, I didn't listen to the music as much season three because my family was with me in Brooklyn because it was deep COVID, and so I didn't play as much music on speakers that like I could,
right,
you know, the kids are around and all that. But season four, I did make a playlist for season four, and it was like some Kendrick and some Radiohead and like the End of the Wild soundtrack, which is a fantastic movie, and Eddie Vedder did the soundtrack for that. It's an amazing soundtrack too. And because Zeke was sort of going back into the cave too, that was felt powerful. And then like Lucky Day, I listened to that a lot in season four. And Yebba, that Yebba album was huge. And then there was a Pearl Jam song that I found called Just Breathe that was for episode 410, was like so powerful and perfect for his story and his story with Michaela and what was about to happen. That song, I'd never heard it before, and I just found it like that day. It blew my mind. It's called Just Breathe, and it's
Just Breathe,
amazing. Pearl Jam? Just Breathe, yeah Pearl Jam.
Wow. We'll have to like make a list.
I can send you
I'll have to make a list because.
And Rufus Wainwright was another one, but Rufus Wainwright has always been powerful to me. I think my first job ever was a show called Jack and Bobby on the WB, and it was a lot of emotional stuff. And I had just gotten into Rufus Wainwright like a year or two before that in New York. And so it was new music to me then, but it was really powerful then. And it still is. I mean, like on the plane back and forth, mm-hmm. I flew back a lot. So I would listen to music and make notes and look at and work and stuff. And so I listened to him a lot, but his voice, the music's so beautiful, but his voice is also just different. And I don't know, there's just some emotionality about it to it that always sort of spoke to me.
That's awesome.
I might listen to it right now and it won't do anything, but like if you're working on something,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You're in another headspace and emotional yes. sort of, mm-hmm. you're in the emotional journey of the character and things mm-hmm. can hit you in a different way than they ever have before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's interesting how that happens.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. That's the power of music, really.
Yeah, no, for real. What do you think happens to Zeke and Michaela during this cab ride? Like, what do you think? Like, as they're driving off and she's telling him all the things, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I wonder if she does unload everything. I don't know. I haven't thought about that actually, really, because I thought maybe we would see that someday, but who knows? I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a good question.
There's been talk of it, but for like not lately as much, because I think Netflix wants something different than the producers had in mind. But I think that there's still interest there, and it would be amazing if that happened.
Right. Oh man, what has been your favorite scene of Manifest, probably to shoot, and why?
Yeah,
that's from Alex.
Alex, thank you, Alex. That's a hard one because there's been so many memorable scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know if I could pick one. If I had to pick one, it might be like that. It's the scene with 410. Because it was such a struggle, but then it was so memorable on the phone with Michaela.
Okay.
But then I also think about like the scene in the cave in episode 113 in the first season, when I tell her about my sister, you know, and how I killed her mm-hmm. in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the stuff at her memorial is so, I love that. I mean, it's hard stuff, but it's also a huge challenge. And when you feel like you get there, then that's the most rewarding thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then like the scene in the car, I'm probably forgetting things. The scene in the car when basically they say goodbye, it's in like in 113.
Oh
like when,
gosh. Yes. PTSD.
yeah. When Ben and Michaela leave him in the car to die, basically, you know?
Oh, that was.
Yeah. That was a memorable one. There's been a lot. I know I'm forgetting stuff.
I love the 4B four, I think it was 414, where she goes
in the cave.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that was a cool scene too.
That was so deep. Like that was like one of the deepest scenes I think for me. To have somebody go into the cave with you. Into mm-hmm. the place of darkness, and like it was too much.
Yeah, like, I hear you. And what's amazing about it, when you think about all of it, is like that always happened then, right? I mean, that's why he came to the cabin.
Yep.
Because she had just sent him there.
Oh
like,
my
it's
god!
So cool, and it gives me chills to think about it.
Yeah,
it's powerful.
Like she was the one who sent him there, like that. Yeah. I always had this feeling of these people; mm-hmm. these two met before all of this. Like this is. Mm-hmm. You know,
when he wakes up and he's like, you know, this
you,
massive,
you know,
well, yeah, you.
Yeah. It just was just so brilliantly mm-hmm. threaded. You know, like everything was so brilliantly threaded in the story with these two. Like it was amazing. Even like right before he gets arrested and he says, gosh, I wish I would have met you some other way, other time. I was like, that was a breadcrumb.
Yeah.
How did I miss this? Like, you know,
it's coming.
Like, yeah.
No, I didn't know then. And I mean, I don't know if they knew at that moment. No, I mean, I don't know if they knew about the last scene, but then the very last, you're talking about like the scene in the cab. Yeah. I don't know if they knew about it then or not. I don't know when that was pitched. I mean,
well, I'm talking about the scene in season two where he gives himself up, but he approaches Michaela and then he says, yes. And he says, I wish I would have met you some other time. I was just like, that's a crumb. How do we miss this?
I know. And it's amazing that they were able to tie that in together. They tie all those moments make even more sense when you look back on them.
Yeah, I was like, that was so brilliantly done. Well, you kind of touched on this, the 410 scene on the phone call, like how was it playing that, playing the emotional goodbye on the phone call, and what did you do to prepare for that?
That's the question.
What did you do?
What did I do to prepare for it?
For that phone call? I mean, because that was such a beautiful script. I mean, you're my breath, my blood. Like, hello. I'm like, these writers are killing me right now.
Yeah, but I think that was written after.
Really?
I'd have to go back and watch it again. When it cuts to her, a lot of that. No, wait. Some of that was in there when we shot it, but like I said, because we changed the story and I wasn't high in the cab anymore, they took all that out. That was most of the phone call was me telling her that I was high in the cab.
Oh, wow. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, a huge chunk of it, not all of it, but like the beginning of the phone call, I don't think changed much. I have all this, like these notes and emails back and forth between Margaret and I, and phone calls and all this stuff from back between after we shot the first block of 10 in season 4.
Wow.
Because we had already shot that scene, and I was kind of crushed that, like, oh my God, it was such a struggle, and then we got it, and now we have to go back and change it. But it ended up working out fine. I went in the ADR room, and
good.
That a version of that was in there, like what she meant and all that was. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of that then was also added after, and I did that in the ADR room because they had to change it.
Wow.
Because I think that's cut back to like flashbacks or something. It's off me. Whenever it's off.
Yeah.
A lot of that is new dialogue that I had to record.
Wow.
After.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a trip. That's
brilliant. it's really great. It was. I talk about the show often because for me, and I know for a lot of people, I kind of go through Twitter, and this show has meant a lot to a lot of people, and I know for me, especially in 2020, it helped me kind of hold on to my faith and to like the hope of humanity, like doing well with each other and all good things. Like that was like the big overarching, you know, phrase of the series. And because for me, it wasn't just about, you know, me and my music career and kind of pivoting from being singer-songwriter to then doing film music. It was a lot of it had to do with just me believing that there was good, there was still good out there, you know? And so, this show has impacted a lot of people. So,
I mean, I see that too. And it's just so powerful and hard to get your head around, honestly, you know, because it is so big. And I mean, it impacted me and my family massively, but like, obviously,
you know,
but to hear about people watching it and people being moved. And I mean, that just means the world to us because that's one of the big reasons we do what we do, you know?
I do.
It's just really special.
Here's another question. Are there any actors or characters that you would have liked to have gotten more scenes with in the series?
Yeah, JR and I always had a good time together. Yeah. He was always fun to shoot with.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
I like shooting with Ty too. Ty's great. We did some stuff, but like, you know, it'd be fun. He wasn't, you know, he's only around there at the end of this. And I only had 10 episodes, you know, basically, or 9, because I wasn't in one of the first 10.
Right.
Probably those guys. I'm trying to think of who else. I always loved Athena too, and Parveen. I love Parveen and Ellen. I mean, everybody's so great.
Yeah.
Parveen, and we just saw Parveen. We went to dinner with her the other night, and she's coming over on Monday for tacos. Yeah, she's great.
She's awesome. I love her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much.
So that everybody's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
How do you see your career moving forward? Is there another role you see yourself doing on set other than acting?
Yeah, I would like to produce some stuff.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Some of my own stuff, but also other people's stuff.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's tough because I feel like, how can you do this again, you know? And so I don't know. I'm anxious to get back to work for sure as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it's something that can be, you know, close to as fulfilling as this has been.
Yeah.
Is there personally?
Yeah. Is there like a genre that you're interested in, like tapping into?
I mean, not specifically. I mean, I love Westerns. It's my favorite genre, like old Westerns. I mean, they come with their own sort of issues, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to do some more action stuff, but I really want there to be some real human connection. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love like father-son relationships and like brother relationships are really powerful. And also like father-daughter now too, because I have a daughter. I just want good writing and to feel, it doesn't have to be a certain genre for me. I love comedy, but I hardly ever get cast in doing comedy. If it was the right thing, you know, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not super picky about it. Just good material is something that moves me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Was there a scene, here are some just bonus questions and some thoughts and then we could wrap this, but was there a scene that was emotionally draining to film for you throughout the series?
Yeah, I mean, sure, there's so many. Yeah, for Zeke, gosh, I mean, I found myself saying, my God, I hope people don't say he's like emotional in every scene. Yeah, I mean, that scene in 410 again, and I mean, you know, some scenes were much easier than others, even though they were emotional, it was just happened very quickly. Like the scene where Melissa and I, or Michaela and Zeke, when I told her I was going to stop treatment, that was powerful, because she was also very emotional, you know. I mean, all, you know, the stuff in season one where, like I said, in the cave, and when he went to mm-hmm. Chloe's memorial, and shooting the stuff in the pool, that was really hard. That was like a difficult physical thing to do. When he goes in, yes. When I jump in the lake to save Cal, that was all intense. And that was hard. I'd never been scuba diving before, so that was really difficult to like go underwater and breathe. And we did like some scuba diving training, and that was intense.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, they put Zeke through the ringer, you know. He was always hurt and injured. And but I loved it though, because it gave me something to play and some mm-hmm. interesting story to be a part of. You know, I'd rather have that than to be just not have it, you know, informational or not being active, you know,
right.
in the story.
Right. This might be the last one because I think we covered a lot.
I did a lot of talking. Hopefully,
no, this is awesome. No, this is great because you answered a lot of questions. So I'm reading some of these and I'm going, yeah, he already answered this. I'm making sure I get everything, especially because, you know, favorite scene of to film in season four, I feel like. Maybe that you have a favorite scene that you filmed.
Favorite scene to film. I don't know if I could pick a favorite. I mean, the most impactful one would have been the phone call, but actually the stuff when Zeke comes home drunk, when he's like, you know, falling off the wagon and he's just totally out of his mind, blitzed. That was so different, you know, for because he'd always been sober.
Yeah.
Except there was that flashback where he with Courtney, and when I went out to get drugs, I was walking on the street. He was high there, but
yeah.
Um, that was a memorable scene. The scene too, where like,
go ahead.
There was a scene where he walks out when I can't remember what had just happened, but he saw Cal. He finds Cal coughing up blood outside of at Beverly's house. And
that must have been a scene we
didn't. Oh, after see. I shot, it was after I shot. I can't remember the character's name. After I Zeke shot either. Shot the woman, you know, outside mm-hmm. the burning building.
Yeah.
And you know, he's in processing that he's killed this person, you know.
That must have been a deleted scene. I don't remember that scene.
Yeah, it was there. It was like he walks out of walks out of the house and he's looking at his phone and he's seeing like stories about like the explosion.
Oh, yes,
people killed and all that.
Yes,
and there's like somebody was shot and he's the one who did it. And so then he sees Cal coughing, Cal. And he's taking the garbage out or whatever. And he goes over and talks to him.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just the beginning of like, one of the things I tried to keep in mind while we were shooting that first block of 10 in season 4 was like knowing where he's going and then he's going to make this ultimate sacrifice to get him there. And it doesn't come out of nowhere. I mean, I pitched to Jeff that he falls off the wagon. Because that's another layer of self-loathing and self-hatred that could push you potentially to make this ultimate, to like not want to, they pulled it back because they didn't want it to seem like, oh, he did that. This is that to cheapen the moment to like, he basically didn't want to live anymore. So that's why he saved Cal and that would have cheapened it. You see what I mean? Instead of it being like the ultimate sacrifice, he's giving up this beautiful life to save everyone, including the woman that he loves.
Yeah.
That would have cheapened it. And I got that. But we did have the moment, the episode of falling off the wagon, which I thought was great. And it set up an amazing episode, which was another couple scenes that were memorable were like the next episode after he falls off the wagon in the morning when he wakes up on the porch with Cal and Cal's cancer's back, but also that I'm, you know, I convince him to go see the doctor, but I'm also like super hungover. And then there's the shame of that and Cal knowing it. And then the scene in the doctor's office with Alex, when I go to pick up the medicine and I realize I can't take this in my hand. And I tell her about, you know, how falling off the wagon and everything. That scene had to be cut down because there was a reference to me being high in the cab and because they took that away, a little bit of that had to be taken out. Yeah.
Wow.
But that was Josh's episode. He directed that episode and it was a big episode for Zeke. And I thought I liked that episode. I thought he did a great job with it.
It was heartbreakingly beautiful. That's what I'd say. I was like, these are all just heartbreakingly but beautiful.
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fun for you to play, right? So many layers, so many, like, just so many things, so many emotions. Mm-hmm.
But it was grounded in, like, love and basic human emotions. It wasn't like this, I didn't have to play so much of the sort of big ethereal stuff, you know, that's harder to do because at the beginning, before you do your work, it's not as connected to, like, real life, you know, human connection, you know?
Yeah. Last question. Mm-hmm. If you were to tell your character one thing, what would it be?
You're good. You're a good man. You're a good person. You're worthy of love and you deserve to be loved, something like that, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I think he felt like he wasn't, you know, that's why the shame, so much of that shame was there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what Michaela was for him. That's what she gave him.
Unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like just loved him just the way that he was, which was beautiful to see. So here are a couple of comments. Just a lot of people just want you to know how much they loved Zeke and you playing him and you know, embodying him. And one person said, I don't have any questions, but please tell Matt how much we all love him and appreciate him and his work. Just tell Matt how much Zeke was loved and the heart of Manifest. thank you so much for your dedication. We were so lucky to have you portray Zeke, and we'll always have our support, always. Thank you. That was from Pia. So
I'll tell her, thank you, Pia. That's so sweet. It means the world to me to hear that stuff, because I was right there with him. I mean, I loved it so much and loved him and the story, and to hear it move, did it move people? I mean, it couldn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it was your work on that show was very well done. I was boo-hooing throughout the seasons, and
well, that's good. I mean, that's, you know, that's the whole point, you know,
to be
moved by these things.
Yeah, very moved. So
that's awesome.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah,
I don't have
anything.
Thank
you for having me. That was fun. Oh, that was good. Yeah. I mean, hopefully that you can get some stuff out of that.
I talked
a lot.
No, I love. I feel like this is. I'll probably edit this part out. Okay.
Unless I say something stupid.
No. Or maybe I won't edit it out. I don't care. I just felt like, wow, it's the end of the series, and I want to hear from Matt. I want to hear.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
How his experience was, and
yeah,
you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I wasn't. I kind of made a comment on Twitter, and people agreed, and I was just like, and I just kind of felt like I was talking to my friend about it. I was like, I'm just gonna ask him to see if he would do an interview, because.
Well, I mean, we've talked, and so I hope that it wasn't too nerve-wracking for you to ask me to do that. I feel like you probably know me enough that I was going to be open to it.
Yeah. I mean, we've been following each other for what, since 2020, and
something like that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and so I just feel like I'm a fan of the show. I'm a fan of Zeke, but I'm also a fan of Matt Long, and so.
Well, so
anything that you do, I've watched. I just recently watched what was it, movie, Sydney White, because I thought it was
great. Boy, that's so awesome. Thank you. That was a long time ago now. I look at that kind of stuff and I'm like, man, you know, you see what you did in this work, and
you sang it. I was like, look at him.
I really sandbagged that one. I kept telling Joe Nussbaum, the director, I was like, man, you know, I love to sing, but I can't, you know, it's not my thing, and I blah blah blah. And it was all right. I think it was okay. It wasn't bad.
I thought it was great. I was like, look at him sing. We need to see Matt sing more.
I would love it if I felt good about my, I love music, like I said, singing, but I want so badly that if I could have any gift, it would be that I had an amazing singing voice. Yeah.
I mean, you have a great talking voice.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. I love your work, and I love what you did in Manifest. I really do. I know I message you all the time about just your emotional scenes. I'm like, how do you just turn that thing on? Like, give him all the awards. Yeah. Just like that. Like, okay, we're going to go into this scene and I'm already crying.
I appreciate it. I don't know. I've always kind of just been an emotional guy, I guess. And I kind of done though. I mean, like, I just connected with him and his story. And so, you know, I mean, I, a lot of it took a lot of work too, but then a lot of times it didn't. It would just be there, you know? Yeah.
What was the thing that made you say yes to playing this character, Zeke? Cause I know you've alluded to that, you know, like just.
Wasn't working, and I loved the fact that he was an outdoorsman. The show seemed like a great premise, and I loved the scenes they sent me to audition with, because that's all I really had. There was no script, and I talked to Julie Schubert a little bit on the phone. She's a guest director beforehand, just to find out a little bit more information, because they were really secretive. All the names were changed, and the scenes are sort of like a mishmash of multiple scenes from episode 113, which was his journey to Chloe's memorial. But that scene was in there, but like a truncated version of that scene at the memorial. And there was like the scene where mixed a bunch of scenes together.
Right.
And I think there were two or three scenes for the audition. And then talking to Jeff, you know, and it just seemed like a cool role. It just seemed really cool. And the show was doing well on NBC. And so let's do it. I was excited. Psyched.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, can't wait.
I had no idea where it was going. I mean, like, I didn't know, you know, it was going to be.
Neither did we. And then it got canceled and we were like, no.
What a journey.
I know. And you were, when it got canceled, you were hiking, weren't you?
I was
like the weirdest thing. Kind
of
like
life imitating art. I was my family and I were in a cabin for a week in the Sierras and with no cell phone or internet. And so it got canceled. And like 3 or 4 days later, we finally came out of the mountains and I had like 80 text messages and tons of phone calls, like hundreds of emails. Jeff and them were like, should you fly a helicopter up there to get him and tell him? Because we didn't come down. I had no idea. You know, when we went up there, the show was, you know, number one on Netflix, but
yeah,
didn't know. We still had a little time left. I feel like I don't remember the details, but that was a trip. And my wife, we switched seats and she drove home and I was like on the phone the whole time, you know, trying to figure out what the heck was going on. Yeah, but we were still at number one. So it was like the show was canceled, but we were still at number, it was this really strange situation to be in, but also not that down and depressing because the show had blown up. And we're just like, something's gonna happen, right? Surely. Yeah. But then it took a couple months, you know, it took a while.
Yeah.
And it seemed like maybe it really was over because Netflix passed on it originally.
Yeah.
They were seriously looking at it.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah. We were like, we're gonna still hashtag save manifest.
Thank God. Because then and the show stayed at number one and they came back to it and said, well, actually, maybe we should think about this. NBC came back too. So it was a crazy ride, but man, I wouldn't change it. It was an awesome time.
I'm just glad we got the end of it because a lot of shows don't get it. And then a lot of shows don't really tie up loose ends the way that this show did. It was so, so well done. Kudos to the writers and to Jeff and the cast and the crew for such a beautiful, just a beautiful four seasons. So I am sad to have it be done, but I look forward to what's next for sure.
Yeah. So do I. It was what a great gift to get. We had these moments, you know, nobody can ever take that away from us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you so much. And
absolutely.
I'll be talking to you later.
Yep. Sounds good. Thank you for asking me to do this. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for spending the time to do it. So means a lot.
Yep. Awesome. You're welcome. All right.
Well, I'll talk to you later.
All right, cool. Bye.
Bye.